A lot of you guys got to hear my original testimony years ago, and so I'm gonna kind of touch on that a little bit, but also we're gonna cover some other things of how like God's undoubtedly been in my life and how this congregation has helped me. First, there's a few things that we have to go over. Okay, so like I prayed really heavy to God that He would be in my heart and really just with me during this. So His way of showing up is my face being super red. So if it has nothing to do with me not liking public speaking or anything like that, so I don't need a medic or anything like that. And the other part was, part of this was like, it was a really good opportunity to get back at Aaron, because as you guys know, he's thrown out 3 or 4 Raider jokes since he's been here. And so I was like, all right, here we go. We're going to get him on the Kentucky. And so I did. I was like, I've got 3 weeks. I'm going to make sure this is really clever and stuff. And so I looked online. I hadn't been following football because we have a new baby and stuff, and basketball, and got on there, and all I seen was really depressing stuff. I mean, it was, Kentucky loses again and again, and so I decided this time I was going to take the high road and just leave the Kentucky jokes out of it and just focus more on the sermon. So. But here's something that's really important to me, and that's, I've been through a tremendous amount of turmoil in my life recently, a ridiculous amount, and I'm gonna go over a little bit of it, but you guys have to know that this congregation, this church has helped me through a ton of that. I mean, in so many ways that you guys don't even realize, and I'd like to point a few of those things out, like for instance, a few years ago, maybe it was last year, I thought it was a few years ago, the question was asked to the congregation, what are you thankful for? And Gary, he stood up and he said, I'm really thankful for the young people in this church that consistently come. And this was at a time where I was talking to Amber. I'm like, look, with these kids and everything else, like, this is really challenging. Like, it's really hard to get up and commit yourself to going to church every, and I needed to hear that. And you had no idea, but... And it wasn't even focused directly at us, but that's just an example of people discipling. And so when you think of discipleship, like, what does that really mean? Discipleship is like accepting somebody's doctrine and then sharing it with others. And so when we talk about religion and stuff, we mainly see that, like, what we're doing is we're accepting what God has told us to do. We're living our life that way, and that gives other people an opportunity to see that and change their lives. And this church has done it in many ways. And so some of the other stuff is people like the Puckets. I mean, just a great example for people in our community. How many times have they donated just food to the church and stuff like that? Or how many times have they done amazing things for us and just been good examples of that? There's been times where, like, Amber and I just had no time. We just had no time. Like, I don't know how to do any of this stuff. And then you look at people like the Molitors. I mean, they are just busy all the time. They commit to everything you ask them to commit to, and they still find time for people. They sacrifice so much. And for me to be able to see that, I admire that tremendously, and I know a lot of us do. But these are examples of discipleship that we are doing within each other and helping each other out. And it's just powerful. It's super, super powerful. There was a time recently where Amber and I's marriage wasn't at the best place. We were stressed. We were struggling. It was really hard. And I remember I had lunch with Aaron, and Aaron told me, he said, one word that's just purely a sin in our household is divorce. And it made me just step back and think for a second. Like, no, that's not an excuse. There's no excuse here, okay? Like, this is something you work on. You go and you find the answers and stuff like that. And so, another group is I just absolutely encourage everybody to be in a life group. And we're going to touch on that a little bit, how life group has helped us tremendously. If you're not in a life group, get in a life group. You have to get in a life group. I don't care how many people come to our house, the whole church can. If it means everybody's in a life group, please come and join a life group. They have helped us through so many rough and weird situations. And another thing is, like, get involved in the kids' ministry. I can't even tell you what that's meant. I didn't grow up a Christian. A lot of people actually grow up Christians, or their families are Christians, and not only that, but, or they just attend church on a regular basis, so they know God. I didn't know God until I met Amber, and I spent a lot of time thinking about that, and I was, I was like, man, like, for the first time in my life, I got to see what it looked like to have a relationship with God. I thought Amber was a little crazy. I mean, she had notebooks full of diaries to God that she would jot down everything, all of her prayers, all of these things. And I didn't even know who God was. Had no idea who God was. And she still took that on. Like, to me, now knowing what I know, it'd be really hard to try to build a relationship and a family with somebody that doesn't believe. But she never gave up, and she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed, and here I am. And this is just a true example of how God can work through people's lives. So before we dig into this, I'd really like to pray with us quick. So if you guys would join me, I'd like to start with that. And so Lord, I would like to praise you for your love, that you have changed my heart and led me to be a better follower of you, Lord God, that I have this unbelievable, humbling opportunity to share what you have graciously allowed me to learn and been a remarkable presence in my life and in others' lives. I ask that you will be glorified through this process and that you will use my voice to accurately and effectively pass what everybody needs to hear. Lord, I pray that this can be a reminder of strong faith and a reminder to those with strong faith and a seed for others with emptiness. Jesus, we have an obligation to share the gospel with others. Paul makes this very clear in Romans chapter 1, 14 through 17, when he says, I am under obligation both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to those who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God through salvation that everyone believes. To the Jews and to the Greeks, the righteous shall live by faith. Amen. Okay, well, this is a good sign. I actually thought, like, a lot of the congregation would leave during the prayer and stuff like that. So at least we can keep that going. So John 12, 34 through 35. Sorry I didn't kind of prerequisite the sermon with this, but if you guys want a quick flip there, I'll just read it, and then you guys can catch up. I've only got three or four different Bible passages, but this one was kind of neat. It's a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another by this. All people will know you are my disciples and that you have love for one another. So, like, that was kind of cool. So starting with, like, I told you guys that I didn't really know God and everything. So the first step that I really took to coming to know God was when I actually had a back injury. And a lot of you guys probably remember this. I broke my back several years ago now, and it was absolutely horrible. And so, like, I knew who God was. I was kind of new in my faith, but it was something that I was trying to be bold with a prayer. And I said, it was really bad. Like, I mean, I couldn't get in bed. Amber would have to pick up my legs and put me in bed. Like, I was in that much pain. Like, there was no doubt that I needed something to help me. And so I prayed to God really bold, like, God, please help me with whatever this looks like, whether that means my neighbor comes by and helps us or whatever the case is. Like, do something for me here, please. And it was really neat because I went in that day, and they were talking about different surgeries. They said, well, what we're probably going to do is we're going to have to go in and put a balloon. I cracked one of my vertebrae through, and then one of the discs was compressed. So they were talking about put a balloon in there or something like that and blowing it up and doing all this stuff. And then after the prayer, about 2-3 days later, I was starting to feel pretty good. I'm not going to lie. I was like, man, I you know, I'm definitely not 100%. So I went back in and I told them they were going to re-x-ray me and do all that stuff. And they did. And they said, hold on a second. They went and grabbed another doctor and came in and, well, this doesn't make any sense. Like, it's already, like, super calcified, and then the compression's not compressed anymore. Like, maybe it was just weird how, and they're just sitting and they're talking, and it was really cool because I vividly remember that I had prayed for this. Like, this is something that I was like, man, and I'm just sitting there, like, ignoring what they're saying, just like, man, there's something here. And then they're like, oh, I have no idea what, you know, what's going on. I do. No, it's fine. So anyways, like, honestly, like, he worked in my life, and he helped me with it. I don't know how he did it. Definitely looking forward to, I mean, I know how he did it, but I don't know why he did that for me, because I wasn't the person he needed me to be at the time. And he showed up. So that was really big. At that point, I was like, I'm getting baptized. No doubt about it. Called Matt up and said, Matt, yeah, we gotta get me baptized here, and we did pretty close to that time frame. And so some of the other things I was going through shortly after that, a lot of you guys don't know, Amber and I had a miscarriage, and absolutely devastating. Like, it'll change a guy and a gal and stuff. And so still not something I've recovered from. That was really hard. At the same time, I was looking for my father, my biological father. I had no idea who he was, where he was. Been doing that search. I found him. I did a DNA test, found him to find out that he's been a missing person for the last 4 years. So I found him, but I didn't find him. So there was a lot of tension. There was a lot of pressure. There was a lot of things that that went on with that. My sister, most of you guys know, my sister had passed away recently from cancer. She had cancer, breast cancer, and it spread. She was healed from that. It was hormone based. She got pregnant. It spread to her brain. Okay, we were through with the breast. And my relationship with God was getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And I felt in my heart that what God wanted me to do was disciple to people, to show people that, hey, you have turmoil in your life, but this is the way you need to behave. But see, I'm new to you, God. Like, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that looks like. So I'm telling you, when you're going through all these different things and God's calling you to do something and you barely know him, and it's that kind of love, that kind of challenging love that really builds faith. So my sister, she actually went in and got brain surgery. Okay, my whole family doesn't know God. And so I had shared what I knew with God. I mean, it was amazing how much God wanted me to share. It was like, Amber's like, okay, this is God, you know. It would share that with me. And then I'd go tell my sister, hey, you know, there's a God, his name's Jesus. And then I'd learn a little bit more and I'd share a little bit more. Whatever I could share accurately, I would try to do that. And it was neat to see my sister in a time of such turmoil with three kids and a kid that she didn't know she was going to make it through to be able to have, to come to know God. Really, 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 really hard situation. It ended up, she got brain surgery. This was one of the neatest moments of my life. She got brain surgery. It was on the frontal lobe. I can't remember the name of the lobe. Excuse me for that. But the doctor said very clearly, we have to be unbelievably aggressive. We have to get in there and we have to cut this out, but we're not going to be able to get all of it. And she's not going to be able to understand speech, or she's not going to be able to speak. There's a very, very good chance. There's just no way. And you need to be ready for that. So went out and bought my nieces. She has three beautiful daughters, and she had a son as well. And so we bought them these books that she could like leave messages for her kids and stuff. And then that way, if she couldn't speak, that she would be able to give those to the kids. And a really hard time, but it was also beautiful at the same time. So anyway, she has this. She's in getting brain surgery, and I'm calling Aaron two or three times, and I'm just. Nobody else in this room believes in God. There's too many people, and I do. And like, I just want to go in the corner and hide. I don't want to share God with you guys. Like, I need my own time, my own space. But I've got an obligation. God's putting it on my heart. What do you do? It's like I don't. I'm not even right with you, God. And you want me to share this with people right now? You want me to step outside of my comfort zone and I told him no, and he said, yeah, you will, and I did. I did. It was kind of funny because there was a picture of Jesus on the wall with a cross and stuff, and I seen my two nieces sitting there, and I slid over there and I said, hey, what do you know about God? What do you know anything about God? And oh, you know, God makes cool cars and trees and all these things, and yeah, you know, that's yeah. What else do you know about God? Well, I know that his name's Jesus and all stuff. Did you know that Jesus can save your mom? I felt like God wanted me to say that. Jesus can save your mom. Don't worry about what everybody else is saying. He's got the power. He can do this. God's putting it in my heart. Tell these girls that their mom's gonna be okay. And even if she's not, you have to still believe. How do you tell little girls that? And I called Aaron, and Aaron says, you just be bold and you stick to that original prayer that we circled in that room. You stick to it. And even if he doesn't, there's a reason. See, but my my relationship with God at the time was not where it needed to be. And so I did. I shared it. And my sister died. Not at that time. So mad at God. So mad. Okay. I told you I didn't want to share this information. I told you this is not what I wanted to do. And you told me to go tell him that your sister was going to be okay. And she's dead, God. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. What do you think that does to my faith? What do you think that does to everybody else's faith in my family that I tried to convince? See, but I was wrong. I was wrong. There was so much more than that. So much more than that. And we'll get into that. At this point, Angie's testimony, before she passed away, she would call me a lot. And it went from, hey, brother, can you pray for me? To, hey, can I pray for us? My sister would pray, and she would pray, and she would pray, and she would pray. And it's the most beautiful thing because it's all I care about. It's all I care about. My sister came to know God through this process. Had this congregation not supported me, had this church, had Hot Springs not been there for me, I couldn't have been the person I needed to be for my sister. Now, my nieces, they go to church camps. They've attended different things like that. Their strength, their faith is stronger than ever because of this stuff. You guys cannot look past the fact that people stare at you and people draw to you and they look at you for inspiration. Being a disciple does not necessarily mean that you have to go and grab somebody and say, this is who Jesus is. It means doing your part in your relationship with God. What can you do better in your faith? Does that mean that you need to read the Bible more? Does that mean that you need to be the guy in a certain situation that stands up, a guy or a gal, excuse me, that stands up and takes over a situation that's kind of funny that doesn't need to be that way? Do you need to be the light? There's a Bible verse. Let's do this one. Matthew 5:13-16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall the saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anybody except to be thrown out and trampled upon under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives you light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see you or see your good works and give glory to the Father in heaven. Okay. After this happened, there's somebody in this room, and I won't point them out, and they asked me, they said, do you really believe in God? And I had to stop and wait. And I had to think about it. Because of this situation, it derailed me. It completely derailed me. And I was a Christian. I was coming to church. I was interacting with you guys all the time. I'm not so sure that if I were to die that day and I went to heaven, God would say that he knew me. It's simply not enough to profess that you care about God. You have to live the way that God wants you to live. You have to show people what it looks like to have a good relationship with God. If you are not absolutely, completely terrified of God's power, then you need to think about that. And that's what I love about this church, that if anybody stood up and said, listen, I'm not sure. I bet you this whole church, even Super Bowl Sunday, I bet you everybody would stay here until we figured it out. It's what I love about this church. This church is awesome. And please, if you come to my house, whatever. Aaron's always available. Everybody's a great resource. But if you got that little bit of deal where you're not 100% sure, then we need to get right today. Need to get right today. I was there pretty close to when my sister passed away. We took a trip and we went back and she wasn't doing well. And I watched my sister die. I'm pretty sure of dehydration. Awful, awful. And I just thought about what it must have been like for Jesus to die on that cross. That sacrifice that he made for us. Knees busted, shins busted, couldn't breathe, couldn't do all that. And he stood there. And when he said, God, there must be another way, right? Like, I don't know. I wonder if maybe because we weren't ready. Maybe we weren't ready. I don't know. But I know that watching her die, this is really important, made me realize the true sacrifice that God made for us. And from that moment on, I was solidified in my relationship with God, and I know that I am right, and I will always be right, and I will with my relationship, and it's something I've got to work on. But I encourage all of you guys to make sure that you're investing your time in God. After this situation, I said, God, give me any opportunity to share you with anybody. I'm my heart is pumping. I'm so full of this. I'm ready to go and share anything I can with anybody. And once you know, God had something for me that morning. And I work at the VA for you people that don't know that. And there's this guy that's in there. He's in a CLC, a community living center. It's essentially hospice. He's been in there longer than I've been there, over 4 years. And I have never talked to him about God, never once. And it was on my heart. God put it on my heart. So I went to his room. I'll just tell you briefly. I went to his room, and I'm in there, and I'm talking to him, and he says, Casey, I'm taking myself off of dialysis. He's been on dialysis every other day for years and years and years and years. And I was like, okay, well, you know what? How are you sitting with God right now? Oh, no, there's God in my heart, right? Here's your moment, Casey. You prayed for it. Here you go. Here, tell him about me. Just give him something. Couldn't do it. Had nothing to say to him. I walked out of that room knowing that he was taking himself off of dialysis, and I had a moment, and I prayed. I was like, God, I messed that up. Discipleship is not easy. It's not fun sometimes. Sometimes you have to find a way to relate to somebody before you can break that barrier. Sometimes maybe you have to do something that you wouldn't normally do, to be uncomfortable, to share the word. It doesn't matter. You got to do that. And so gratefully, he made it through the weekend, and I grabbed one of my buddies, and I was like, hey, man, here's the situation. He said, let's go. Let's go. We went in there, and we prayed, and we talked about God, and we said, hey, man, look, he says, here's my thing. I'm afraid to take myself out off of dialysis because I'm afraid that God is going to look like I committed suicide or took my life or something like that. So I don't have those answers for you. And he's like, I've been praying for God that something would just happen. I'm like, here I am. There's no doubt about it because I've been praying the same thing. He put us together. I'm here for you right now. Let's pray. And we prayed, and it was awesome. It was awesome. I'm telling you guys, sometimes we have situations where these people aren't Christians. They don't know who God is, and maybe we're the only person that can connect with them. Please just look at those situations as somebody that really needs. There's one of two places we're going, up and down, in or out, yes or no. Doesn't matter how you look at it, okay? And sometimes people just need us. So with all that being said, preparing myself for this sermon has brought me closer to God than the entire time I've known God and researched and tried to find him. So I encourage you guys to find something that's in your heart that maybe you're curious about and really research it. Because I really feel like if you give your heart to God, he will open doors for you. It's evident. And so there's this really cool video that I found on Facebook. We're almost done. We're gonna watch a quick video and then I'll close in prayer. But I'd like for you guys to see this video because it's important for us to realize that discipleship is the only reason any of us are in this room right now. It's the only reason any of us know God. There's for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years, there's been people that have passed along this message. And we have an obligation. We ought to do the same any chance we get. So anyways, check out this video. We'll close in prayer. And I appreciate you guys hanging with me on this.
Maybe one of the reasons so many people in the church aren't making disciples of all nations is because they're not really disciples in the first place. You think about Jesus and his disciples from the very beginning to the very end. Making disciples was in the DNA of this thing, right? To be a disciple involved making disciples. Follow me, Matthew 4, and I will, what? I'll make you fishers of men. Very end. Go, make disciples of all nations. As those disciples were standing on that mountaintop, do you think that they had to be cajoled into going? No. And Jesus had to rein them in, say, The last thing we need is you guys out there alone. Just wait for the Spirit. Peter, you'll blow this thing from the start. Just wait. Let him come down and then everything will be good. These guys ready to go. Making disciples is the natural, or maybe better yet, supernatural overflow of being a disciple. Proclaiming the love of Christ is the overflow of sharing in the life of Christ. And I'm convinced many people in our churches are just simply missing the life of Christ. And a lot of it has to do with what we've sold them as the gospel. I.e., pray this prayer, accept Jesus into your heart, invite Christ into your life. Should it not concern us that there is no such superstitious prayer in the New Testament? Should it not concern us that the Bible never uses the phrases accept Jesus into your heart or invite Christ into your life? It's not the gospel we see being preached. It's modern evangelism built on sinking sand, and it runs the risk of disillusioning millions of souls. It's a very dangerous thing to lead people to think that they are a Christian when they have not biblically responded to the gospel. If we're not careful, we will take the gospel, the lifeblood, out of Christianity and put Kool-Aid in its place so that it will taste better to the crowds. It's not just dangerous, it's just damning. And when we think about making disciples, we think, well, it's just about going out and getting people to pray the prayer. We spread that. No, let's give them a full picture of the gospel. Let's show people the greatness of God. Yes, He is a Father who loves us. He's a loving Father who will save us, but He is also a wrathful judge who may damn us. And this is exactly what we deserve in our sin. We are hopelessly lost. We are dead in our sin. And when Ephesians 2 uses that word, you were dead in your sin, in the original Greek, the word dead means dead. Not just kinda, sorta, dead. Unable to come to life unless someone from outside acted upon your heart. Lostness of man. Do we really believe this? I mean, even when we're talking about unreached, this is huge, right? I think most of the people that are in our churches believe that people who've never heard the gospel, well, certainly they'll get a pass in the end, right? Certainly they'll be okay in the end. Precisely because they've never heard the gospel? If that's true, then what's the worst thing we could do? Like, take the gospel to them. We just increase their chances of condemnation. We get to them, share the gospel, they're thinking, thanks for your Burge conference. If you guys never would have come here, we had a free pass, but now that you've shared this with us, there's a chance we're going to hell. We ask questions like, what about the innocent guy who's never heard the name of Jesus? In Africa, what's going to happen to him? Well, here's the deal. The innocent guy in Africa who's never heard the name of Jesus, when he dies, will absolutely go to heaven. No question. The only problem is, that guy doesn't exist. There are no innocent guys in Africa just waiting to hear the gospel, waiting to hear the name of Jesus. There's guilty people all over Africa, and that's why they need to hear the gospel. Not just Africa, but Asia, North America, and everywhere in between. This is what drives us, right? understanding this. People don't understand this because they're not realizing it in a biblical presentation of the gospel. Well, gut mission. Give them a picture of God, lostness of man, supremacy of Christ. He has lived the life we couldn't live. He's died the death we deserve to die. And he's conquered the enemy we could not conquer. Tell them about his life and his death and his resurrection. And then call them, now here's some biblical words, to repent. Jesus is not a poor, puny Savior looking for anyone's acceptance. He is a sovereign Lord and King who is worthy of everyone's praise. Repent and trust in Christ as Savior and Lord. And when that happens in somebody's life, life-changing gospel, everything changes in their heart. And when that has happened, then people don't have to be cajoled into mission, they are compelled into mission. So let's give them a life-changing gospel.
And again, I'd like to give one more Bible verse for reference, and then after that, closing prayer. Ephesians 2:12, remember that you were once at a time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants and of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We were all at a time separated from God. And because people acted upon that, because God has given us the opportunity to work in each other's lives, we're saved, and hopefully we can help more people. So I'd like to invite you guys to pray with me, and Lord, please just never let us forget your sacrifice and your promise to us. Lord, everyone in this room is so fortunate to have a relationship with you. They're rich beyond measure. They have people that flood their lives with reminders of the Messiah. They have free churches to learn, and they have free life groups to see what practical faith looks like. Lord, your love and your ticket to eternal life is free of tax collectors and social statuses. It's free of judgment and qualifications, and yet too many of us never come to know you. It is with my full conviction that I pray that starting in this congregation, you will give everybody an opportunity to be a light for others. And in those moments, we can arise and be bold and not ashamed of the gospel, but grateful that you chose us to do so. Lord, we love you and we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.